Cafe. My name is Jimmy Jones. I'm from East Tennessee, Knoxville, and I was working on a construction project in Texas. Had relatives that were bought a ranch and building some houses, and I work construction and do some wiring, sound wiring, and that's what I was doing. And some of the guys on the job were from this church in Bastrop, Texas, BCOC, Bastrop Community Outreach Center, and it's a Christian interdenominational fellowship. Bastrop's a town of about 7,000, and they asked me to come and visit them with a church, and I did, and I liked the church, went there a few times, and then Katrina hit, and what happened was four of them, see if I can get their names right, Billy Helm, Mike Jones, Martin Gonzalez, and Max Bricker, I believe is his name. I've got his name's on the front banner. I don't know if I pronounce it right. They got together, and there was actually a lady from Bastrop whose daughter was living in Waveland, and she couldn't find her, couldn't reach her on the phone. The grid was down, and she asked them to see if they could come find out what happened to her, and they volunteered to do that, and they brought a few things with them when they came. It's 9 hours away. Katrina was on the 29th of August, and they came Friday the 2nd. And they had trouble getting here. There were roadblocks everywhere. They had to take back roads and talk their way past National Guard blocks and roadblocks, and it took them a long time. But they finally got here and just pulled into this parking lot right over here beside where the red tent is now, and just pulled their pickup truck up. Of course, the parking lot was a mess, and there was debris and cars and trash and parts of buildings everywhere. It was only 4 days after Katrina. And they just came here because it was across from the police station and the water tower, and they didn't know what to do. They were just going to try to find this lady's family member. And after they pulled up, some policemen came from across the street and said, "You're the first people we've seen. Do you have any water?" And the police had their families with them. There were 27 of them that lived over here towards the Gulf area, and they had gone to the police station for the storm, and they had to swim out, all 27 of them, and grab trees and power lines and whatever they could to survive. And several of them almost drowned, but they did all survive. And they had been in the police station ever since, and the place everywhere. There was 23 feet of water in this parking lot for 6 hours. And they... of course, everyone was struggling, and then some people started coming out of the woods, and the police were talking to them. They gave them some water and some canned goods they had brought, not very much, but people came out of the woods, and there were some horrible things that they saw and that happened. They helped pick up some bodies. The parking lot was a mess. There was debris everywhere. People came out of the woods. They were sleeping under tin and pieces of plywood, and they were muddy, and a lot of the people didn't have any clothes. The hurricane, once you get wet, and the 130-mile-an-hour winds or so rip your clothes off of you. You just try to stand there if you get in it at all. And so many people had to go to their roofs, people that stayed. Yeah. They ended up on their roof, and they'll tell you, a lot of them, the people here, that when they got on the roof, the clothes just ripped off of them, and the people were muddy and hadn't had any relief, or most of them hadn't seen anybody else from outside in 4 days. So you can imagine how they were feeling. I talked to one man just the other day who stayed in a tree for 2.5 days, was snake bit 3 times, watched alligators pull bodies out of the brush and stuff, and horrible stories. I mean, there were some really horrible stories. But anyway, these four guys left, went to the phones, the grid worked, and immediately called back to Bastrop, Texas. Mike Jones called his wife, Debbie, and said, "Send more trucks and food and water and clothes. This is terrible here. We nobody knew anything about Waveland or Hancock County or this area." And so they did, and they started sending trucks and trailers, pickup trucks and car hauler trailers full of supplies. And I came the following Friday, and they were sending two or three loads a day. And I came with some of these friends of mine, and when I arrived, I intended to stay. I arrived Friday the 9th, and I intended to stay until Sunday, and I kind of got bumped. Some of the people that were here couldn't stay. I don't know how to describe it. It smelled very bad. There was sewage everywhere. There was debris everywhere. There was no water and electricity at all. If you wanted to bathe, you had to take a gallon jug and just pour it over you off somewhere in a corner behind a tarp or something.
Yeah, right.
And there was no facilities, really, of any kind. So some of the people got here, and not too long after they got here, they wanted to leave.
Yeah, you know, sure. It's pretty rough living.
I kind of got bumped. I volunteered to, mm-hmm. I'll go in a few days.
Yeah,
and after 2 days more, for the fourth day, I thought, okay, I felt like maybe God was telling me I needed to stay here. And so that was September the 9th, and I've spent every night here on the parking lot since. So
wow.
I'm a construction worker, and some of the work is being held for me back in Texas, so I'll go back there and finish it up, and then I'll go back to East Tennessee. I've got four kids. Three of them are in college. One's a senior in high school. He lives with his older brothers.
Uh-huh.
So I've kept in communication with them, and they're okay. And my oldest son is a fourth-year med student, so he's capable of taking care of, things
yeah.
at home. I got here that Friday, and that Saturday morning we were going to cook breakfast,
mm-hmm.
and we got up thinking we'll cook breakfast for, maybe 60 or 70 people will show up, and before we realized that there were hundreds of people in line, and we didn't have enough stuff or food or people to feed them. There was, like 10 of us here, and Billy Helm said, "Jim, come go with me. Let's drive around town and see if we can find some people to help us here." And every church we visited was either destroyed, or the people had left, or they were at their church working and they were in no shape to help. They were struggling themselves. Everybody in this area was struggling. And they were even looking for people that they knew were here that they couldn't find, their friends or family members or parish members. And so we finally went to this one church and met Kevin Kedrick and a few of his friends, and he said it was the First United Pentecostal here in Waveland,
mm-hmm.
and they were shoveling mud out of their church and trying to clean it out, and it was in terrible shape, but they were trying to clean it out and save it. And he said, "My mother and father, Martha Kedrick, and I can't remember his dad's first name, the Kedricks were the pastors there, and he said, I go to church in Hammond," and he said, "nobody in here in town can help you, but let me give you the names of some churches in Hammond, Louisiana. It's about an hour away. That's my home congregation and some sister congregations, and there'll be people there that can help
yeah.
you." So he gave me the directions, and Ryan Brewer and myself from Bastrop, was his truck, and we went to Hammond and found this church, Harvest Church, and found the associate pastor he told us to find, and they already had 180 people sleeping in their auditorium from New Orleans.
Wow.
And they already had a warehouse, one of their main gym at their church. They had a school there too, pretty large church, had water and food and clothes already in it, so they were distributing stuff, and they were very busy, and all of their volunteers were very busy. There were 70 or 80 people there working that Saturday afternoon. And he says, we really are thin with volunteers, but if I hear of anybody," he said, "what are you looking for?" And I said, "we're looking for somebody that can help us feed. We've just started a kitchen, and we need help feeding people. There are a lot of hungry people where we're from." And he said, "well, let me take your number, and if I hear of anything, I'll call you."
Mm-hmm.
So we drove to the next church, Eagle Heights Church, and as soon as we drove up in the parking lot, I got a call from Eddie Robinson, the assistant pastor, and he says, "Jim, you just left here, right?" And I said, "yeah." And he says, "turn around and come back. There's somebody that just drove up that said they want to help feed people from the disaster area." And so we went back, and in the parking lot, just an empty gravel parking lot in Hammond, we found a bus and a van, and in the bus and van were Felipe Chavez, Richard Roski, and David Soyotovich, all from Wisconsin, and they said, we've been sent down here by some co-op farmers to set up a food kitchen. And I said, that's great. How many people a day can you feed? And he said 2,000, and I said something like, not in a week, I mean in a day. And he said, Felipe said, Jim, I said 2,000. And I said, and I looked at Ryan, and we both said, okay, you guys can follow us. We know where you can go. We know where there's a devastated area, and there are lots of hungry people.
Yeah.
And they just followed us, yeah. Just like that. I mean, the meeting was that short. And Felipe and Richard and David did say that they felt like God brought us together. They spoke that and acknowledged that. And we've talked about that since, what a God moment that was, and
yeah.
Very spiritual for all four of us. And,
yeah.